This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
My countrymen and my friends, I had hoped against hope that some miracle would prevent a devastating war and bring to an end the invasion.
This most serious threat World Wrestling Federation has ever known.
Sports entertainment could change forever.
A succession of actual wars have shaken the entire world and have threatened to bring on the gigantic conflict, which is today, unhappily, a fact. That I hate war.
This is our last chance.
There's no going back. There is no tomorrow.
They want to finish us off.
Feel this moment for the rest of your life.
This war is only half over, and it could damn well be lost.
We're laying it all on the line.
Nothing can stop the WCW and ECW.
Austin is going to lead us into invasion.
Lift up your heart. All will come right.
We will kick WCW and ECW's.
No WWF superstar is going to deny us from our destiny.
Death! The sports entertainment!
I have seen war.
Get a W!
And I hate war.
Wait, I'm over.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another episode of Nation Invasion. I'm James Gruenberg, leading you into this invasion and across the with the nation. I always have a guest with me, and he's on multiple podcasts on this network and the North South Connection as well. He's one third of the tri-host on Extreme Three-Way Dance. He is Matt Souza. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Gruny, good to be here. Good to see you going through what I think is an underrated time in WWF history. So I'm excited for this podcast, and I am excited to be here with you this evening, sir.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, we've had some good Raws, you know, and good SmackDowns as we're chugging along this invasion here. You know, we're on the road to King of the Ring. So not only do we have these WCW invaders coming in as well, we also have a pay-per-view, and Stone Cold's paranoia is kicking in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt, when you hear WCW invasion, what do you think of, and what were your memories of the invasion as a whole?
So I always remember the invasion, like the storyline itself being pretty shitty, but I remember like the matches kind of making up for it. So I'm curious to see if that remains the case going through and watching it again. And I mean, we're going to talk about it. A lot of these matches are pretty solid, particularly on SmackDown, which we'll get to later on. But yeah, that was always my thing. It felt like the invasion as a whole to me felt kind of like a missed opportunity. Like it could have been so much more, but I mean, they really couldn't do anything because a lot of the big names from WCW just sat at home because of the AOL Time Warner thing. And I don't blame them one bit. I mean, getting paid to sit at home and do nothing, that's the fucking American dream. But so like, I don't blame guys like Goldberg and Kevin Nash and whatnot for not coming in at this point. I get it, but it definitely feels like a missed opportunity with the invasion.
Yeah, you know, and 2001's also a time of injuries as well, you know, but and also you know, a couple of releases here and there, but we have no releases or like no news and notes coming into this Raw, you know. 2 weeks into this podcast, you know, when the invasion first started off, we had Brian Christopher getting released, Grandmaster Sexy, and we had Eddie Guerrero getting released last week. He wasn't released, but he was sent home, and he would be sitting out the invasion too. So no loss with Grandmaster Sexy, you know, but I think a little bit of a loss with Eddie Guerrero here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Eddie was so messed up at this point that it kind of makes sense that they kind of felt like they had to send him home. So I do get it, but it is a loss for them because he was so good in the ring, even when he was at his most fucked up.
Yeah. So far, Matt, here we've had Lance Storm kicked off the invasion in Calgary, and then Hugh Morris was the second invader in Minneapolis, giving the moonsault to Edge on Raw, and also Lance Storm giving the super kick to Perry Saturn here. So we're gonna get kicked off with Raw, June 11th, 2001. From Richmond, Virginia. Start off with William Regal coming to the ring. Says Chris Benoit cheated and played dirty versus Stone Cold and Mr. McMahon. On SmackDown, it was Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho, world tag team titles on the line, and they would defend against Mr. McMahon and Stone Cold, but it was also like they were defending against the APA and Big Show and Rhino. They survived that, and then Benoit rolled up Stone Cold, but he cheated and pulled the tights, but good on Benoit for getting that win and, making Stone Cold even more mad than Austin has already been.
Yeah, I agree totally. I mean, you got to give Benoit some wins leading up to what's coming at King of the Ring. So, I mean, you got to do something with him. So that makes sense.
Yep. Says Chris Jericho will face Rhino and the Big Show in a handicap match. And Chris Benoit will take on Kurt Angle in a steel cage match. Regal thinks that neither Chris Benoit nor Jericho deserve to take on Stone Cold, the King of the Ring. Out comes Mick Foley. Foley admits that he has committed tomfoolery from time to time as commissioner here. Regal is saying, indeed, yes, you have. But Benoit and Jericho don't deserve a title. Now get out. But out comes Linda McMahon. Regal tries to suck up to Linda, but she's not falling for it. She says both Benoit and Jericho deserve a title shot versus Austin, and also says that Austin should wrestle twice at King of the Ring, saying that Austin should face Chris Jericho first and then Chris Benoit in both separate matches for the WWF title, reciting Austin's words that he is a fighting champion, and he could beat both Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho on Sunday at King of the Ring. So Austin's words come back to bite him, Matt, here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so this is a very long opening segment here. Like, you're talking 20 minutes, and I thought Regal was just kind of rambling at this point. Like, usually I like Regal, but I felt like he was kind of trying to kill time here. And then you get Foley coming out, and I always love Foley. I thought his line of saying that he was guilty of committing tomfoolery was really great. I thought that was hysterical. And then fucking Linda McMahon comes out. It's like, all right, we don't need this. We don't need Linda McMahon because she's terrible at the speaking thing. Like, it took her like 6 years to spit out that the King of the Ring main event is. Oh, how the hell did she win a spot in public office? It's just she's always been terrible, and nice to see that it hasn't changed in 2001.
So eventually she does announce that the main event of King of the Ring will be a triple threat match for the WWF title. It will be Stone Cold defending his title in a triple threat against Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho. So a long segment, but, it got to the point, and it was a very good, Linda getting one up on Regal. And if you want to please Linda, Regal, you better give the people what they want. And they want that triple threat match. So good on Linda for, pulling one on Austin, actually.
Yeah, like I said, it was a very long open. It was a typical, Attitude Era Raw opening. It was, 20 minutes long. And, I mean, they did eventually get the point across. But, boy, it sure did take a while to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Matt, you'll know on this Raw, we have a lot of backstage segments here as well.
Too much, in fact.
Backstage, Edge and Rhino are backstage, and Christian is complaining about having to face Kane, but you know, everyone has their path to the King of the Ring. So if Christian wants to be in the King of the Ring, he's going to have to go through Kane.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they're already kind of showing signs of dissension here between Edge and Christian. Like, they haven't, obviously they haven't gone full bore with it yet, but it does feel like, you know, if they wanted to do a turn, you know, you could go back and look at this and, you know, it could, you could see this as one of the signs of it. So I thought that was pretty interesting that they already kind of started teasing some sort of dissension between these two guys this early on. So that was pretty interesting. But yeah, backstage segment number one of about 38,000 on this episode of Raw.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking here, but a lot of backstage. So you're going to have to bear with us, folks. So we have our first Kane of the Ring qualifying match. It's Kane versus Christian. Kane slams down Christian. A tilt-a-whirl slam to Christian. Big boot by Kane. Flying clothesline by Kane. Edge pulls Kane out of the ring. Kane choke slams Christian. Then Edge distracts the referee. So Albert comes out and he gives Kane the Baldo bomb. And then Christian gets the win. For this match, I went 2 stars. It was all right, you know, but like it was just mostly like Kane doing most of the work here. Christian really doesn't really get a lot of offense in.
Yeah, I mean,
late in the match, and then Albert comes out and he gets a Baldo bomb.
Yeah, not much here. This match, I went 1.5 stars on it. I mean, it's fine. And save for the main event, this is going to begin a pattern on this show of a lot of these matches being real short, like sub-5 minutes type of short, like it's 1998 all over again. And yeah, I mean, when you have matches that's that short, I mean, it's tough to really get anything of a decent quality. But I mean, this was perfectly fine for what it was. So I mean, I went 1.5 stars on it. It's nothing awful, but nothing great either.
Yeah. Stone Cold and Deborah arrive. Stone Cold tells when they run into Foley and Linda McMahon. Stone Cold is complaining that Linda is ruining Stone Cold's life and is ruining Vince's life as well. She's yelling. He's yelling at Linda, and Foley steps in and says, well, you're going to have to face Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho in a triple threat match at King of the Ring. Have a nice day. So Stone Cold literally doesn't know what's going on as he arrives into the arena and he finds out from Mick Foley. So Austin is like, what just happened? You know, like he's flabbergasted that this is what is going on.
Yeah, the only other note I'll add is that Austin at one point told Linda to go scrub pots and pans. Which
you're ruining my life, Linda. Yeah. Linda, you're ruining my life.
Well, Linda would ruin a lot of lives, but that's a story for another day.
Where's Lash LaRue?
That's a great question.
Where's Lash? So now we have the Hardy Boys versus X Factor. Matt and X Pac start. Clothesline to X Pac. X Pac throws Matt Hardy to the outside. Super kick to Matt by Justin. Spinning heel kick to Matt. X-Pac misses the Bronco Buster. Jeff does the poetry in motion to both X-Pac and Justin Credible. Lita comes in. She gives a hurricanrana to X-Pac and a swanton bomb for the win. I went 2.25 here, Matt. I probably am overrating, but I like this. I like this tag team matchup here. You know, like the Hardy Boys and X Factor's not bad. You know, they had some good moves and like, you know, they're good with the feet, you know, like, you know, the karate kicks, and Justin's got good foot background here as well. Good footwork.
I'm right there. I didn't go 2.25. I went 2 on it. I thought these two teams had some pretty good chemistry with one another. They had a good pace. The Swanton I thought was great looking, and you have the X Factor assaulting the Hardys after the bell, including a sick chair shot to Jeff by X Pac. So yeah, I mean, again, another quick match on this night, but I thought this was pretty good. Like, if you give them a little bit more time, more than the 3 minutes or so that they got, like this could have been a pretty interesting match. But as is, I went 2 on it. It was perfectly fine.
Yep. So now another backstage segment. We have Regal. He's talking to Jerry. Stone Cold comes in, and he is very, very angry at Regal for allowing Linda to make this monstrosity main event travesty, according to Stone Cold. To Jerry tries to intervene, but Stone Cold just beats the crap out of him here.
Yeah, I thought Austin was great here. I mean, the way he just barges in all pissed off, he's like muttering to himself. I thought he was great during this. And then poor Tajiri got his shit kicked in. My God, Austin's just pummeling this poor man behind the desk. But yeah, I thought this was really, really well done here. And it's interesting to see Austin with this different character, this kind of paranoid, you know, losing his mind type of thing. Now, I like it here, but we'll get to it later where I kind of had some problems with where they go with it on SmackDown. But here, I thought this was really well done here.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, it was really good here. You know, we're seeing the anger flashes of Stone Cold, but also the paranoia is kicking in, you know, because he's got he's got like 13 days, like to 10 days left as WWF champion, as everyone's saying. So, you know, time is maybe winding down for Stone Cold as he has to defend his WWF title here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Trish Stratus. She says she will be in Steve Blackman's corner as he takes on Perry Saturn. You know, they've been trying to get like Trish Stratus and Steve Blackman in a like sort of like a managerial relationship here, but it's not going anywhere. And like, you know, for the most part, they'll try different people with Trish in 2001 and it goes nowhere until they literally bring back the women's division, or they try to bring back the women's division here.
Yeah, I completely forgot Steve Blackman was still around at this point. Like, I thought he was gone by this point, so that was a nice surprise. But yeah, I mean, you could clearly tell it was kind of a thing. They're trying to find something for Trish to do, but it also felt like they're kind of trying to find something for Steve Blackman to do at the same time. So, and like you said, it's not going to go anywhere. So this was a completely useless segment.
Yep. So Benoit and Jericho are seen talking to each other. You know, if one wins, he'll give the other one a title shot. Vice versa, if Jericho wins, he'll give Benoit the first title shot. So they're psyching each other up that one of them could walk out of King of the Ring, the champ here. So good on Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho. No matter what happens, they're going to give each other the title shot if one of them wins. But, you know, the real main goal is to just beat Austin for the belt.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense. They're tag team champions. They're tag partners. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense that they would do that. So,
Now we have Spike and Molly. Molly is upset that they have to be on different sides, as it is a 6-man tag match here between the Hollies and the Dudley Boys. You know, they try and finally get this kiss in, but they're stopped by the Dudley Boys. They need to have a talk with Spike. You know, they won't promise that they won't hurt Molly if worse comes to worse. So, you know, it's like vice versa. The Hollies can't complain and say, oh, well, we're not responsible if Spike gets hurt as well. So what did you think of this whole Molly Spike saga here? Because it's going to continue for this and the next show as well.
I mean, I don't hate it. Like, it's not my favorite thing, but I don't know. It just, they do have a pretty good chemistry with one another. Like, and it does kind of make sense, but my God, like 4 backstage segments in a row. Like, it's, and spoiler, there's going to be a 5th one we're going to talk about in a minute. But, like, I know Raw is the talky show, right? But good Lord, we've had like 6 minutes of wrestling in 45 minutes. It's too much. Like, you got to space it out a bit more for my own sanity, you know?
It almost feels like the first hour of Nitro when they were only playing like the NWO in the backstage segments, and then they're like, now hour two will begin our wrestling. And it was like hour one was just all David Flair and Tori Wilson.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like, I mean, there's literally been like 6 minutes of wrestling that we've talked about so far. It's ridiculous.
And finally, we have Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's in the parking lot. Vince McMahon shows up, and Stone Cold is complaining to Vince how he is being treated. Says it's a conspiracy, 2-on-1 for the WWF title, that they're just trying to get the title away from him. Vince tries to hug Stone Cold, but Stone Cold's like, don't touch me, you know, because he is mad that, you know, it's Vince McMahon's fault that Linda is allowed to make this triple threat match. But in the end, Stone Cold ends up hugging Mr. McMahon here.
Yeah, to me, this to me feels like they're trying to put over that Austin has like completely lost his mind and he wants to keep the title at all costs. So he's completely manic. He's out of his mind. He turned to Mr. McMahon at WrestleMania to help him win the title. And since then, he's just completely gone off of a cliff as far as his mind goes. So, I mean, look, this was really well done. And the stare that Austin has as he's hugging McMahon is fantastic. It just like lights are on, but nobody's home, deer in the headlights type of look. So I thought that was really well done. So yeah, this was good stuff.
Yeah. Yep. So finally, Matt, we get back to wrestling here.
Wow. On a wrestling show. Weird.
Yeah. As we have Chris Jericho versus Rhino and Big Show in a handicap match. So it's 1-on-2. A bulldog to Rhino. A dropkick to the Big Show. The lion salt to Rhino. Big Show throws Jericho into the steps. Big boot by Big Show. Enziguri takedown to Rhino. Flying forearm to Rhino. Jericho throws Big Show into Rhino. Big Show is low blowed by Jericho. The walls of Jericho to Rhino, but Big Show chokeslams Jericho. Rhino, for some reason, gores the Big Show, and then he pins Jericho. For this, I went 2 on it. It's fine, you know, it's back and forth banter, you know, like Jericho trying to survive. I don't know why Rhino gored the Big Show, but I guess he just wanted to take the pin for himself. So I went 2 on it. It's fine. It's a good match here.
Yeah, I mean, I went 1.5 stars on it. It was, like you said, it was perfectly fine. I hate handicap matches just as a general rule. They've always annoyed me. I don't know why. It's just something about, I don't know. I just think I don't think it ever works like they really want it to. And I thought this one was pretty basic. I love Rhino. I thought Rhino was really good here. The gore to Big Show is very weird and out of nowhere. I mean, I'm guessing he gored Show so he could get the pin, but I don't know. It came off very weird. So, but yeah, I mean, this was fine enough. A match that goes close to 5 minutes. Thank goodness. Star and a half for me.
Okay. Shane McMahon is backstage. He thanks Kane for saving him on SmackDown on the last SmackDown before this Raw. Undertaker beat up Shane McMahon because Vince told the Undertaker that Shane might have something to do with who is stalking Undertaker's wife. Threw him into a one of those like ice coolers where they keep the ice, you know. It was a hard throw, but Kane had to save the day and say that he thinks that Shane is telling the truth. So Shane McMahon wants to thank Kane for saving him. And then he tells Kane that it might be Kurt Angle, that Kurt Angle might have something to do with stalking the Undertaker's wife, because Kurt Angle has meddled in other people's relationships as well.
Boy, we went 5 whole minutes without a backstage segment, huh?
Jeez. Yeah.
Again, like, all these backstage segments, they're mostly fine, but it's just too many of them. Like, I don't know. Do one of these in the ring. You know, like, just have Austin go out there, like the Austin McMahon stuff. You could have done that in the ring, just something to break up all these backstage, all this backstage. Like, imagine being at this show live and having to sit through all these backstage segments. You're sitting on your hands the entire time. I mean, again, this was fine, like I've been saying about all these backstage segments, but it's another backstage segment, and I'm over it. It's been more than half of this show so far has been backstage stuff.
So they go to JR and Paul Heyman, you know, they're talking about, like, you know, the upcoming main event. But all of a sudden, we go backstage to the king, to the trainer's room, where Chris Jericho's being looked at. Stone Cold finds Chris Jericho, and he beats him really badly to a bloody pulp, you know. So Stone Cold's paranoia is kicking in. So he wants to make sure that he takes out both his opponents and make sure that they can't make it to King of the Ring at this point. So he starts off with Jericho after Jericho is, getting beat down by Rhino in the Big Show. So he stomps Jericho in the trainer's room to take him out.
Yeah, rough night for Jericho. Is he's gotten his shit kicked in twice in a row, in fact. Again, Austin just continuing to show that paranoia by trying to keep the title by any means necessary, which kind of goes against how Austin got the title in the first place all the way back in 1998, but it makes sense because he's a heel, so, and he's good at it, so I like it.
So Kurt Angle comes out to the ring, says he hates being in Richmond, says all they do is reenact the Civil War, which they lost. Kurt Angle will beat Benoit one more time, says he will snap Benoit's ankle in the steel cage match, and then says he wants respect. Says that he is a real American hero, says he will win the King of the Ring and be the two-time King of the Ring winner, and then he will beat Shane McMahon. I forgot, was this when he announced that it was going to be a street fight, or was that on SmackDown? I'm sorry.
I believe that was here. I think it was during this, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, so, yeah, oh, yeah, I think it's like the next segment or something. Yeah, my bad. Undertaker comes out. He accuses Kurt of knowing who is stalking Sarah. Kurt knows nothing. I never even liked your wife. I didn't even find her attractive. So he says the wrong thing to even find Sarah attractive. Undertaker gives Angle the last rod. And now we have another stalker video. This time the stalker is in Sarah's hotel room. Oh my gosh, Matt, what do you think of these creepy stalker videos? This is the Undertaker. This is my Sarah.
The stalker thing was so fucking stupid. I hated it so much. And I mean, it's tough to look at it now, knowing where this whole thing was going and knowing who the stalker was. But Jesus God. And, you know, I admit that, like, I fully admit that we all know who it was, but God, it was so dumb. Like, it's the Undertaker. You could literally do anything else with him. Like, it's just so dumb.
I think it was Logan that said he was government cheese James Earl Jones.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like that, but it's so dumb.
Yep. So now Shane comes into the ring, and he gives an Angle slam to Kurt. So Shane McMahon is getting one up on Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. I mean, look, he's the president of WCW, so he's got to get one up over his boys. I thought this was pretty good. I thought Angle was super entertaining here, as he always is. I love Angle is sick whenever he goes to Richmond. I thought that was great. He says he's going to kick the HE double hockey sticks out of Benoit in the main event. I thought that was a great line. Yeah, it was great. And I think it really picked up, save for the stupid stalker bullshit. But I think once Taker came out, I thought it really picked up. And God, that last ride was brutal. So, yeah, I enjoyed this segment quite a bit.
Yep, yeah. So, really good stuff here. You know, we're still with this stalker, and Shane McMahon is just getting a one up on Kurt Angle, you know, and it's really getting Angle mad, you know. So Shane McMahon has gotten under Kurt Angle's skin.
Yeah, I would agree. I can see why Angle wants him in a street fight.
Yep. So now we have our second King of the Ring match for tonight. Perry Saturn versus Steve Blackman, where Terry and Perry's corner and Trish Stratus in Steve Blackman's corner. Perry tries a roll up, a clothesline to Blackman, a suplex by Perry, a spine buster to Perry Saturn, a belly to belly by Steve Blackman. And I think like Terry got up on the ring, but and to distract Blackman, but then Trish pulls her down. But then Perry Saturn out of nowhere gets a fisherman suplex in and he pins Blackman. I went a star on this. This match is really bad, you know. Like, I don't really like go below a star, but like, you know, this one was not a squash, you know, got some good like kicks in and stuff, but really not good at all. So I want a star on this.
Time for Sunday Night Heat already with this match, huh? Boy. look, I love Perry Saturn, but this is not the Perry Saturn from ECW or WCW that I know and love. The crowd was super dead for this, rightfully so, because it's Perry Saturn versus Steve Blackman on an episode of Raw in 2001. So, yeah, I mean, it's a complete nothing match. I went one star on it, too, like you. Just, yeah, complete and utter filler.
Blackman hits Perry with a kendo stick, so Perry is dazed and confused. Carry, you know, there's a lot of Aries in here.
There's too many.
Deborah is trying to calm down Stone Cold, but he is very upset. And then we get backstage again. It's Molly and the Hollies this time, but Molly doesn't want to see Spike get hurt. It's a very soap opera sort of segment here, like, oh, no. Guys, please don't hurt Spike. We can't promise anything.
It's like Romeo and Juliet, basically. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Young and the Restless, they are.
Yeah, right.
So now Terry is backstage talking to Regal to give Perry Saturn the night off from SmackDown. They have like a date set up, and Perry needs to rest his head after getting hit with the kendo stick. Regal agrees, but then Perry says British people fight dragons so they don't get all fiery.
I mean, I just assume that to be true. I mean, nobody's told me otherwise. So.
Yep. Oh boy, Perry, you're losing it, man.
Yeah, one too many hits to the head.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last week it was him trying to be a Dudley boy and he couldn't even pronounce tables. He said, "Devon, get the muffins." Yep. So now we have the six-man tag match, the Dudleys versus the Hollies. A scoop slam to Spike and then a tag to Molly. So it's Spike and Molly in the ring. You know, they're both Bubba and Devon are like, get her, and the Hollies are, you know, saying the same thing, come on, fight. But then, Hardcore Holly slams Spike and then down and beats down on Spike. Tag to Devon. Devon unloads on Crash. The What's Up bomb to Hardcore Holly. Devon gets the tables. Bubba goes after Molly. A 3D that crashed for the win. I went a star and a half here, you know, not that much was given between both teams. You know, the Dudleys just doing their thing, you know, the Hollies not really getting a lot of offense, but it's basically mostly about, you know, Molly and Spike, but then the 3D to crash for the win. So I went a star and a half here.
Yeah, I went two on it. Like you said, you hit the nail on the head. This was a vehicle to further the Spike and Molly stuff. I mean, it was a totally fine tag team match again for the eighth time. I'm going to say it. Super short, too short. In fact, none of these matches are getting any time so far on this show, and it's kind of hurting the quality of all of them. And like, I don't think this would have been particularly great had it gotten some time, but I would have liked to have at least seen it gotten some time. You know, so I mean, it was perfectly fine, but. I thought Hardcore's bump after the match when they crashed through the table was nasty. He got the short end of that stick, but yeah, I mean, again, not much here. Two stars.
Yep. So now, before we get, so Bubba Ray Dudley slams himself in Hardcore through a table. So Devon is down with Crash. Hardcore and Bubba Ray Dudley went through a table. So Mike and Molly here, you know, but 15 years earlier. Yeah. Spike and Molly finally kiss. They finally get this kiss, and they've been trying for, like, you know, two shows already. And Jim Ross had, JR had the line of the night, just like Brad Pitt in What's Her Name?
Yeah, that was a good line. That was a good line from JR. But yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they got it over with right away. Like, you don't, this is not a thing you need to drag on for months and months in advance. So just have them kiss, move on.
Yeah, and boy, are they gonna move on when we cover SmackDown? But yeah, good on Spike and Molly for getting their kiss in. Can't believe I said Mike. Yeah, I know.
Well, look, obviously Spike and Molly was the inspiration for the Mike and Molly. The sitcom.
Yes. So, thank you. Yeah. So before we get to our main event here, we have two segments. We have an update on Triple H, who tore his quad 3 weeks ago here on the Monday Night Raw during the tag team matchup. You know, he's going through rehab. You know, he's like working out a little bit. He's lifting up his legs here and there. You know, he's trying to get back in 6 months at least, but it would be longer, as we all know. Mm-hmm. But I think he was actually pushing for like 4, and I was like, there's no way they're going to get this done in 4 months. And then what do you do when you like bring him back, you know, given if it's May, you know, you get into the, well, it's actually June. So 4 months, it's like September almost, you know, the invasion's already in there, you know, like, so it's like, where would you put him? You know? So I think it's good that they got a refresh with the return of when Triple H came back. You know, but I even thought that it was like, oh, 6 months is going to be out too, you know. So I think it was good they held off and like it became 8 months. And I don't even think Triple H was ready to go at the 6 month line here as well.
Yeah. Why rush him back when you really don't need him at this point, right? You have so much going on. Like if he would have come back, like you said, in 4 months or 6 months, whatever, there was just so much going on at that point in time. Like I don't think he would have necessarily gotten lost in the shuffle or anything like that. He's fucking Triple H. But, mm-hmm. like, you don't need him at that point with everything you have going on with all the WCW stuff. And I do wonder, like, how much him getting hurt kind of put a wrinkle into the plans for King of the Ring. Like, cause I'm assuming the King of the Ring main event was supposed to be like a fatal four way between with Austin, Triple H, Benoit and Jericho. So I wonder like how much of the build to the King of the Ring they had to change with Triple H being out. But
oh yeah. You know, I'm sure that like a lot of it, like the whole like storyline, I've heard that from Bruce Pritchard in the past that like if Triple H never got hurt, he was going to chase Austin throughout all of 2001, you know,
yeah.
Like,
so yeah.
It was like, well, then what happens to Kurt, you know, but Triple H gets hurt, this whole thing happens. And now it's like, well, where do we go from here? Now we have to rebuild and rewrite some things, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I could definitely see that Austin and Triple H being a thing throughout the year, for sure.
Yep. And then we have a test at WWF New York. Did you ever go to WWF New York, Matt?
I don't think so. I think but the first time I went to New York, I think it had already closed. It was already Hard Rock, I think.
Oh, yeah. I went in maybe the last 3 weeks that it was open on a Sunday before I went to go see the Lion King, we went to the WWE restaurant. It's like, little did you know that might have been like the last time it was open, mm-hmm. because I came back in 2005 thinking that, oh, it was still there. And it was. And I was like, well, that sort of makes sense. It has been on TV in forever, you know? So it's like, right. Oh, wow. It was out of business. And like, you know, you see, I saw the Hard Rock. It's like, where's the WWE restaurant store? It's like, oh, it's not right. Even here anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, bad financial businesses in Vince McMahon's life.
Well, the thing you had always heard about that place, too, was the food kind of sucked, too. I thought that I remember hearing that being a thing. So, I mean, yeah, if the food sucks, that's probably bad.
Yeah, but it was also like the embezzlement thing as well. Like the guy.
Oh, well,
who
that'll
was, like,
do it too. I didn't know that part. Yeah. Holy shit!
Oh yeah, yeah. No, there was whoever was running it, like, you know, was like embezzling like so much money from it that like he ended up going to jail for it too. So it was an embezzlement scheme as well.
So you can't cook and you're stealing money. Great.
No, you cannot. So Test is there. And he's asked, what do you like, you know, he's hanging out at WWF New York, you know, he's asked, he's asked about Shane McMahon's WCW. And he says, listen, you know, I give Shane McMahon props for buying WCW under his father's nose. And Shane's going to do big things with WCW in time. And they ask him, will you join Shane's WCW? And Test, you know, he was like, maybe, maybe not. You know, he didn't give a definitive yes. So he was like, maybe, maybe not. You know, me and Shane McMahon, we're boys, you know, Shane O'Mac and I are boys, but we'll see what happens.
This to me felt very much like, hey, remember, Test is a person that exists. Let's put him on Raw so that we can remind the people that watch this show that Test is a person.
Yeah, you know, the last, like, couple of months, you know, he's been involved with, like, the Big Show and, like, the Hardcore title. But also, he was, like, the European champion until WrestleMania 17. So, Test has been in and out at this point here.
Yeah. Like, I feel like they put all the guys, like, the guys that they don't really have anything for them to do, that's the crew they send to WWF New York every week. And it's probably not a great sign that Test is one of those guys that's going to WWF New York on a Monday night.
No, it's not. So then it's our main event. It's Chris Benoit versus Kurt Angle in the steel cage match. Stone Cold comes down to the ring. He's going to do commentary with Jim Ross and Paul Heyman. And, you know, Jim Ross and Jim Ross and Stone Cold were going back and forth on this one, huh, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always liked their back and forth, even when Austin was a face and Austin would do commentary on some matches. They always had a good back and forth with one another. Because, I mean, look, they're good friends. This is probably how they talk to each other in real life when they're giving each other shit. So to hear it on TV is pretty cool.
Yeah. So we have the cage match. Angle takes down Benoit, belly to belly to Benoit. Angle counters a crossface attempt by Benoit. Benoit goes into the cage, chops to Angle. Benoit is sent into the cage again. So Angle is really using the cage as a weapon here. And these throws are brutal to Chris Benoit. And, you know, Angle's going to get some too. Snap suplexes to Angle. A gut wrench to Benoit. Kurt tries to escape, but is German suplexed off the top rope. So this is our first like big slam off of in the air, you know, and we're going to see more of that here. But what do you think of this German suplex off the top rope? Because, like, you know, it's pretty high as well.
It's an insane bump. I mean, gee, what are you doing? Like, I mean, obviously Angle took the brunt of the bump. I mean, he crash landed pretty much with all of his force on his neck, but that ain't a great bump for Benoit either. So, like, you're taking a flat back bump, what, probably, you know, 6 feet off the air onto that ring. It's a brutal bump. It's so brutal.
Yep. So Benoit is thrown off the top and a diving elbow by Kurt. Angle goes into the cage, brutal throws into the cage as well, like, you know, and a low blow to Chris Benoit as well. The angle slam by Kurt. Kurt tries to escape. And he's looking back at Benoit and where Benoit is. All Angle has to do is just literally climb out and he would win this matchup here. Even Paul Heyman's like, he's going to escape, JR. Kurt Angle is going to escape. Kurt Angle does a moonsault and he misses. It looked like he broke his jaw when he lands. Like, he misses and he bounces. Like, it looked like his jaw just bounced like a basketball, like wham. So Kurt Angle misses, as JR says, Kurt Angle went for everything and got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like this is the first of the brutal jumps by both men here. What'd you think of the moonsault here?
Yeah, it's a sick spot. Angle, you said his jaw. It looked like he broke his jaw. It looked like Angle broke his everything when he hit that mat. I mean, just the way he bounces off that mat, it's such a vicious crash.
I even asked Kurt. I was like, "Did you have any jaw damage?" I asked him, like, an Ask Angle anything for the podcast he does, and he actually answered that question. He said, "No, no jaw damage. I'm just the dumbass."
No, it's everything else I broke, which is why I can't. Which is why I can't walk anymore. But
what were we talking about again? Oh yeah, the crash. Yep. Oh gosh, yeah. So Benoit goes to work on Angle. But it is countered by Kurt. More German suplexes by Benoit. Angle goes into the door. Benoit tries to escape, but Austin stops him. Like, so if Benoit climbs down, he's going to have to deal with Stone Cold in this chair. So what does Benoit do? He does the diving headbutt off of the cage, and he lands it. So Benoit does the second jump off the steel cage, and he lands it. My gosh, you know, and if this wasn't the start to Benoit's neck problems, I don't know what was.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to watch this match, knowing the neck trauma that both guys would have soon, mm-hmm. fairly soon after this. I mean, Angle was like 2 years later, and Benoit was a year later. So, I mean, look, you could probably point some of that neck trauma and directly relate it to this match on both guys' parts, because, man, like, they didn't have a neck after this match. It's rough. It's rough, yeah. And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Benoit drop kicks the door into Austin's face. Ankle lock is countered by Benoit. Austin slams the door into Benoit's face as he's trying to crawl out. And then Angle escapes for the win. For this match whole, I went 4 stars, Matt. I think this match deserves 4 stars between everything that Benoit and Angle did, putting their body on the line for Angle to do that moonsault. I don't even know where to begin. And then Benoit just does the dive. You know, these guys really laid it all out on the line in that ring and in that steel cage match. So 4 stars for me.
I'm right there with you. I went 4 stars on this too. I mean, it's a fantastic match. I mean, it's probably an all-time Raw main event. And when you factor in, like, this is a match that, like, we didn't know this, or at the time, you didn't know this match was going to happen going into this Raw. Like, it's not like they had really pumped it up or anything like that. So I think when you factor that into that, this was kind of like, quote-unquote, a surprise main event. Like, it wasn't advertised or anything like that. It's just wild to see these two guys just throw that out there on a random episode of Raw when they hadn't really been feuding that much, really, since Judgment Day. They had kind of gone their separate ways, and then they just kind of do this one again, one more match as a one-off. I mean, I probably like this better than the Backlash match. I probably like this better than the Judgment Day match. I mean, I'd have to rewatch the Mania 17 match, but I would imagine it's on par with that. So, yeah, this is fantastic. Just a great, great main event. Crazy pace, insane spots from both guys. And for me, kind of saved this episode of Raw, because before this, I was thinking this is pretty rough. But this whole 20 minutes here really saved this show for me. So, yeah, 4 stars.
Yep. And then post-match here, Benoit is laying in the ring. Here comes Stone Cold with a chair, and Austin just beats down Benoit with the chair here. So, as Raw goes off the air, Stone Cold's paranoia is hitting, and he is just brutalizing both Jericho and Benoit here. Mostly Benoit, you know. I think Jericho got off easy to what Benoit had to deal with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Angle just beats Austin just beats the hell out of Benoit with that chair. It was brutal. And, I mean, look, he already took out Jericho earlier in the night, so he really did. I think that's what they were going for. Since he already took out Jericho, he's going to do this to Benoit. So, but, yeah, it's a brutal ending to the show.
Yep. So, no Invader here on Monday Night Raw. I don't think, I mean, I feel like you could have used it, but like, where would you have put the Invader, you know, since like, it's all these backstage segments and like not a whole lot of wrestling. I feel like you could have used somebody here to, you know, spice up the show a little bit, but I don't even know if an Invader would have made the show better other than that cage match here.
Yeah. I mean, even if you want to grab some like low level guy or something, like a fucking, I don't know, Sean Stasiak or Mike Sanders, and just have him kind of run in on a random one of the 85 backstage segments on this show, like that to me would have made sense if they had just done it like that. But yeah, I mean, you weren't going to see like a Booker T or anybody like that on this show. With the way this show was, there was no chance of that happening.
Yeah, even like a Chavo, maybe like a Chavo Guerrero coming at the end of the Perry Saturn match or something to do like a frog splash.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even like a Raven or something, given the history with Saturn, but he was but yeah.
Yeah, even like a Shane Helms doing like the Vertebraker, they could do that or something. Something could have gotten it. So with that in mind, Matt, we're going to go to WWF SmackDown. We're live in Baltimore here. We get a recap of Monday Night Raw. And instead of a long 20-minute segment of William Regal and Linda McMahon, we actually start off with a match here, as it is Edge and Christian versus Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit for the tag team titles on the line.
Yeah, I was very happy to see a wrestling match start a wrestling show.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Matt, this is one of four matches for titles on the line here. But there'll be a surprise at the end, too. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Benoit goes to work on Christian, tag to Edge, attack Jericho, double underhook to Edge. Jericho tries the walls, but Edge counters. Jericho tries the walls, but Edge counters. A bulldog, a dropkick to Jericho. Multiple tags between Edge and Christian. So, you know, they're keeping Benoit away from Jericho here. You know, like they're keeping them isolated from each other. And, you know, they're keeping the fresh man in here for Edge and Christian. And then, you know, a tag. Bulldog to Edge. German suplexes by Benoit. Christian is tapping out to the crossface, but the ref is distracted. Edge hits Benoit with the tag title for a two count, a tag to Jericho, but the referee didn't see the tag, so Benoit is still in the match here. A neck breaker to Benoit. Edge and Christian are isolating Benoit from Jericho. Belly to belly suplex to Christian, tag to Jericho. Christian straddles Jericho on the turnbuckles. Stack suplex by Edge and Christian. Flying headbutt to Edge, who's trying to go for the pin. So he goes for the pin, and then Benoit does the diving headbutt. So we have a lot of banter here. And Christian then spears Edge, and then a lion salt to Edge for the pin. For this matchup, I went 2.5 here. I really liked this matchup between Benoit and Jericho versus Edge and Christian. 2.5 for me.
Yeah, I actually went 3 on this. I thought this was a really fun tag title match. Just very fast paced. I thought the pace was great. The heat segments were really well done. You got a Tower of Doom spot in a match in 2001, which is a thing I was not expecting to see when I saw this. The flying headbutt, of course, always sick. I do like the finish too. I think the finish makes sense. It keeps the dissension between Edge and Christian going, so it seems like they're going to keep running with that. So a really hot open to SmackDown here. Certainly better than the 20 minutes of fucking Linda McMahon nonsense we got on Raw. So 3 stars for me.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, very good way to kick off SmackDown here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Michael Cole and Taz here were, like, I think talking about Benoit's next. So, like I said, if it wasn't for the cage match, and like the cage match kicked it off here, you know, it's like Benoit's neck is just getting, it's like an hourglass almost, you know, like the way they're talking about it, you know, yeah. Well, the neck, it's like, well, maybe he shouldn't have gone through with this, you know, checked up on it beforehand.
Well, as it turns out, they'd be right about the damn neck in a few short weeks. So
I think Benoit was – I feel like Chris knew, but he was like, maybe if I just make it through King of the Ring, then go get checked out here, you know? But, like, yeah. It felt like the neck was just an hourglass, like, of sand, basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, by this – I don't know if he knew it was going to fail him as soon as it does, but I would feel like that by this point you had to at least know that at some point you were going to have to get that worked on, so –
Yep. So then Edge shoves Christian and they start to argue. So, like you said, it might be leaning towards, you know, a breakup between Edge and Christian. Can they get back on track? Mm-hmm. Backstage. Yeah, man, I said backstage again. We have Spike and Molly. They're backstage. They're interrupted by the Dudley Boys. They want to talk to Spike alone. Devon says Spike chose a girl over family. The Dudley Boys say Spike is on his own if he gets into trouble. And Spike goes, what kind of trouble could I possibly get into? That'll come and bite him. That's going to come back and bite him.
That was such a great line from Spike. I love the way he said that. What possible trouble can I get myself into? It was just his delivery of it was so great.
Yep. So now we have our first King of the Ring match. This is for slot 7. Of the King of the Ring here, as it is Big Show versus Raven. Mm-hmm. So Big Show versus Raven, punches to Raven and a big boot to the face, a headbutt to Raven. Big Show goes into the steps, a baseball slide to Big Show, but it's a choke slam to Raven. Thought this was a squash here, so I went a half a star.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it my normal squash rating, which is like 1 star. It was a fine enough squash. Raven's WWF run will never not bum me out, given that me being a fan of his ECW run. But yeah, I mean, not much here. This is a complete squash, so 1 star.
Stone Cold is backstage trying to get signatures to get the triple threat match thrown out. Stone Cold says the triple threat match is unfair and says that Linda McMahon will have to change her mind. So, Stone Cold going around trying to get the old signature petition for his match to get thrown out. Very unlikely of Stone Cold, but
yeah,
these are some funny segments too. Maybe too many of them.
Yeah, I have a couple of problems with it. One, there's too many of these, number one. And number two, like, I get the Austin being paranoid thing. That makes sense to me because it's tied to the title. But, like, the petition stuff, I feel like, is one step too far with this stuff. Like, the bottom line is, pardon the pun, but the bottom line is, Austin is a fighter. He may be paranoid and out of his friggin' mind, but he's a fighter. He's a guy who fights. He's not a guy who gets out of title shots or wants to get out of title shots or title defenses. So this whole petition thing just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yep. Well, instead of being backstage, Matt, we're at a restaurant. Terry Saturn, Terry, and Dean are at a restaurant. They're waiting for Dean's date. Her name is Sherry. So you have Perry, Sherry, Terry and Dean.
And Dean.
Which one of these is not like the other?
Yeah. I will say the one line that popped me is Perry at one point said that Sherry smelled like a Viking. So yeah. I thought that was a very good line.
Yep. So now we have a European title match. It's our second title on the line. It's Matt Hardy versus Kay Quick. Mm-hmm. For starters here, I thought they could have substituted Kay Quick for X-Pac or even Justin Credible, you know, mm-hmm. But I guess you had to go with, I don't know why you didn't go with them since there was just that like feud on Raw here, but we have Kay Quick here. Armbar by Matt, a roll up by Kay Quick. Kane Quick tries to use the ropes for leverage, but Matt kicked out. A spinning heel kick to Matt, a cross body to Matt, a wheelbarrow suplex to Kane Quick, a leg drop by Matt for a two count, a back suplex to Matt, twist of fate for the win here. I want a star and a quarter here, Matt. Like I said, Matt and Kane Quick had some good moves, but I feel like this isn't the spot for him. I feel like Matt Hardy should have gone up against X-Pac or Justin Incredible here. So I want a star and a quarter.
Yeah, I thought this was okay. I went gentleman's two on it because I did think the match was pretty good, but like, I didn't think Kane Quick was still here. I thought he was long gone by this point, so seeing him pop up was very surprising to me. And you're 100% right. Like, why don't you just do a Just Incredible or an X-Pac here? That would have made a lot more sense, and honestly, it probably would have been a better match, especially if you throw X-Pac here. Like, that could have been a really fun TV match here, but as is, I mean, they gave this a little bit of time. They gave this around, like, 5 minutes, so it was a fine match, but yeah, it's a very, very weird match, a very random match for this SmackDown, so 2 stars for me. Gentlemen's 2, I should say.
Yep, yeah. Stone Cold then runs into Jim Ross backstage, orders JR to sign the petition, unless he wants another Oklahoma mud stomping from Stone Cold. He better sign that petition.
You bet your ass JR signed it. He's afraid of Stone Cold. I don't blame him.
So then we get a recap of, the stalker videos of Sarah. And then X-Factor is trying to pump up Albert for his match against Kane for the Intercontinental title tonight. Kurt Angle asks them for help because he's going to face The Undertaker here as well. So, it's like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And it's like, okay, yeah. So X-Pac and, I mean, X-Factor and Kurt Angle are trying to work out a deal here.
Yeah, and this goes back to the Matt Hardy thing. They're both there. X-Pac and Credible are both there. Just put one of them in the match. Like, because yeah. I thought after the match, it's like, well, I mean, they just had the match with X-Factor. Maybe they're not there. No, they're there. They just don't use them for whatever reason. So it's very weird. I also loved Angle figuring out that just Incredible means just Incredible. I thought that was very good.
Yeah.
Angle, his comedic timing is so good. It's just the best. He's so good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So then we're back at the restaurant. Perry Saturn asks the waiter if they have dinosaurs to eat.
I don't think they do. I don't think they have dinosaurs there, no.
No, yeah, I mean, maybe they had dinosaur chicken nuggets, but I don't think they had actual dinosaurs.
Well, there you go. I mean, maybe that would work for him. Look, he won't know any better. You just should give him that.
No. Yeah, I mean, he's a child in himself. No, you right. I think he would like dinosaur chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
So we're in Regal's office. Tajiri is rewarded when he gets getting his ass kicked by Stone Cold. Apparently, Tajiri has shown that he is tough and can stand a beating. So Regal is going to enter Tajiri in the final spot for the King of the Ring qualifying matches here. So it'll be Tajiri versus Crash Holly for the last King of the Ring title spot here. Stone Cold comes into the office to have Regal and Tajiri sign the petition. No harm there, they do it proudly. So,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very strange that Tajiri gets in the King of the Ring after getting his shit kicked in by Austin, but hey, good for him.
Yep. So Kurt Angle then, so it's Undertaker versus Kurt Angle. Kurt comes out, he's mad at Undertaker, says he is a superhero and the best wrestler in the world. This is where he challenged Shane to make it a street fight. I thought it was on Raw, but
yeah, I thought he
said, on SmackDown.
I thought he said it at Raw too. Maybe he said it both, but I had a note that he said it on Raw too, so who knows?
Yep, yeah. So he challenges Shane to a street fight here. So we'll wait and see if Shane McMahon makes that official. Undertaker goes to work on Kurt. Sidewalk slam to Kurt. Boot to Kurt's face. Suplex to the Undertaker. Taker unloads on Kurt. Curtis Thrones the outside. Undertaker gets a DDT. And then Undertaker gets DQ'd when he hits Kurt with the steps. So this is basically, I don't know, like I would say like just, I don't even know if it's a match, Matt. If it is, it's a quarter star because there was just like Undertaker just beating down on Kurt because like he's just mad. So feels like this is more of a segment than a match, but the bell did ring and Kurt is declared the champion, the winner, not the champion. And so I went a quarter star here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't rate it because I thought of it, like you said, I thought of it as more of an angle, pardon the pun, than a match. So, yeah, I didn't rate it. And it's also short, like it's 3 minutes long. So it was just basically a beating where Taker just beats the hell out of him. He grabs the steel steps, fucking destroys Angle with it. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was the best part of the match was him, Taker just railing Angle with those steel steps. But, yeah, I didn't rate it because it was mostly an angle.
Yep. So then X-Pac and Justin Credible come out a last round, and then they both get choke slams by the Undertaker, and then X-Pac gets the last ride here. So this is where X-Factor comes out. They don't even come out during the match. They come out post-match and they just get beaten down. So this plan sort of failed. Angle that X-Factor is going to come down. They don't even come out until the match, and then they just get a beat down as well.
Yeah, I'm guessing Angle won't be using X-Factor's services again anytime soon with how badly they fucked up.
Yep. So we get more signatures for Stone Cold's petition. I think this is when Howard Finkel signed the petition as well, or like Sarge, or you know, like a lot of people are just signing right. this petition here. So now we have Test versus Rhino. This is the third title on the line. It is for the Hardcore Championship. Huge clotheslines by Test. Test goes into the guardrail. Trash can lid shots to Rhino. Test gets hit with a fire extinguisher. Test throws a trash can into Rhino's face. Superplex to the trash can by Test. So he slams... superplexes Rhino into the trash can. Pump handle slams a Rhino for a two count. Rhino uses the trash can lid. A clothesline to Rhino. A full Nelson slam to Rhino. Rhino and the flying elbow into the table of Rhino. But that also gets a two count as well. So nothing is stopping Rhino until Shane McMahon comes out. So, you know, Shane McMahon comes out with his... theme music, but he's not alone, Matt. Mm-hmm. He's with Stacy Keibler of WCW. And it brought back to me that, oh, Shane McMahon and Test are boys, and Test said some positive things about Shane McMahon's WCW. So allow Shane to, you know, help one of his boys out, you know, like scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Rhino gets easily distracted by Stacy shaking her thing, you know, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Tess hits the big boot to Rhino, like, with a trash can, too, and he gets the win. So, for this matchup, I went 2.5 here. I really enjoyed this match. I love the hardcore matches here, you know. 2.5 for me. It's very, very good.
Yeah, this was a ton of fun. I went 2.5 like you. Interesting that they picked this spot to debut Stacy Keibler. I mean, it's a choice, but it does make sense, like you said, for the distraction finish. I am a big Rhino mark. I love seeing Rhino do his thing. I just think he's, especially at this point when he can still move around, he's so big and he's so mobile that he just fucking wreck shop on people, and it's awesome to watch. So I just think he's a ton of fun to watch, and he is perfect for this hardcore division. He gives the hardcore division a bit of a boost here, a bit of a boost that it needs. And I think Test will be good as champion too. So, and it gives Test something to do. I mean, he was at fucking WWF New York during Raw, so give him something to do. Let's give him the hardcore title. So, yeah, really fun match for SmackDown. 2.5.
Yep. So security escorts Shane and Stacy out of the arena and out of the ring area. Stone Cold gets Howard Finkel to sign his petition. Shane and Stacy are leaving in a limo. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like Stacy doesn't even have to talk, you know, like she's just there and she knows what to do. She's just walking and boy, can she walk with those legs.
She's got legs and she knows how to use them is what I'm told.
Yep. So now we have our final, the eighth spot, King of the Ring qualifying match. It is Crash Holly versus the Jerry. ECW chants are huge for this one. I mean, you know, Crash was also in ECW at one point before going to WWF. So maybe they cross paths in ECW as well. Maybe some fans know it, or they just know to Jerry from ECW as well. But huge ECW chants here. Huge kick to Crash's face to the outside. Chops to Crash. Baseball slide kick to Crash's face. More kicks to Crash. A missile drop kick to Jerry. Tarantula applied to Crash. The kick to Crash's face for the win. I went a star and a half, you know. Tajiri really did well here. And, you know, we're seeing the best out of Tajiri. I mean, if you watch him on ECW before, like, you know, knowing that he was in WWF, like before he came to WWF, you know what he's all about. But if you're just watching him for the first time, you go, wow, this dude knows a lot of karate kicks.
Yeah, I mean, and this is pretty much a squash, but it's a great squash and a hell of a showcase for Tajiri, which I think was the point. I actually went 2 on it because, much like I'm a Rhino Mark, I'm also a Tajiri Mark. I'm a massive Tajiri Mark. Like, he's one of my favorite guys, period, in ECW. So seeing him do his thing here was great. Taz marking out for Tajiri on commentary was also great. Like, he's just losing his mind, saying, I've wrestled this guy before. He's dangerous. He's not much, but he's, you know, looks are deceiving. He's super dangerous. I thought Taz was fantastic. And Regal was really good at ringside, too, with his facial expressions and everything. So, yeah, I mean, it was a basic squash, but goddamn, it worked. And it got Tajiri over huge with the crowd. So, 2 stars.
Yeah. So now we have Stone Cold. He's in the bathroom getting the Big Show to sign. And Big Show signs his signature while sitting on the toilet. And there's a lot of bathroom humor in this segment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then we go back to the restaurant. Barry and Sherry are playing a riddle game here. This was sort of one of the more funny, dumb segments. I kind of chuckled when she goes, I ate the garbage can, and he goes, you ate the garbage can.
Mm-hmm. Look, I have no idea what that means, but maybe it's a euphemism for something. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Good Lord.
Yep. So Tess gets an interview in, and he welcomes all challengers for his hardcore title. And then we get another video of Sarah, and this time the stalker says, I am going to come and reveal myself. It is now time for me to take off my mask and reveal myself here.
Your stalker impression sounds a little like Lanny Poffo, I must say.
I was going to say, if it wasn't Jesse the Body Ventura, you know, maybe Lanny Poffo was trying to get that job.
Yeah, maybe. He was the stalker all along. Who they originally wanted.
Yeah, I didn't do anything in WCW. Can I have my job back in WWF? But I still got paid for it. Maybe they used Lanny's voice. Like, you know, they're like, do some voiceovers for us. Can you make your voice dark? It's like, yes, I can. This is The Undertaker's wife, Sarah.
That must be it. They brought him in strictly for voiceover work.
Voiceover work, yeah. So Spike and Molly are talking, and Stone Cold gets Spike to sign the petition, and then Stone Cold mumbles, your little bimbo girlfriend over there, and Spike just completely snaps. He goes, what'd you say? He goes, well, look at her, Spike, she's a gold digger. He's like, no, you can't talk about my girlfriend like that, because I just did. What are you gonna do about it? And so literally Spike rips up the whole petition. You cannot talk about my girlfriend like that. Spike Dudley signed his, might have signed his death warrant, but that was a guts, balls to the balls out performance by Spike Dudley, just ripping up Stone Cold's petition and throwing them at him.
Yeah, I think that's a case where Spike showing more balls than brains there for sure.
He had more balls than balls Mahoney did.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So Stone Cold cries. Stone Cold loyally cries to Regal without showing any tears. Commissioner, look what he did. So Stone Cold goes, I'll put the title on the line. Just give me Spike Dudley. Regal grants it. So Stone Cold versus Spike Dudley for the title here.
Mm-hmm. Regal also called Spike a miserable specimen at one point, which was great to hear during that. Yep. So. Yeah, kind of a random title match, but honestly, it's kind of a cool one on paper. Like, you wouldn't expect Spike Dudley to get a world title shot in the WWF, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are indeed. Don't know what that's going to be like, but, you know, it might not be much. It might be something, so We'll find out. We have our Intercontinental title match here. This is the four out of five title matches here. So heavy on titles here tonight, Matt, as we see here.
Yeah, it makes up for the lack of wrestling on Raw, so I like it.
Yep. Right hands to Albert, a scoop slam by Kane. Albert goes into the turnbuckle. Kane goes into the ropes and a clothesline. A press slam to Kane by Albert. Suplex by Albert, neck breaker by Kane, clothesline by Albert, a big boot by Kane, flying clothesline to Albert, power slam for a two count. Albert counters a choke slam with the DDT for a two count. The scissors kick by Albert, but Kane also kicks out of that one. Kane counters the Baldo bomb with a drop kick, a choke slam to Albert for the win. I went 2 3/4 here, Matt. I really liked it here. So Kane is going to retain his WWF Intercontinental title here. And I went 2 3/4. I thought for two big guys here, they could really go at it. Both guys were showing really great offense, and Albert is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I went 2 3/4 on this, too. I love a big old hoss fight with two monstrous humans just throwing bombs at each other. And that's what this was. I thought this was a ton of fun and kind of shocking, honestly. Like, you wouldn't expect a Kane and Albert match in 2001 to be this good. But, like, I've always said that 2001 Kane was peak Kane, if there is such a thing. Because, I mean, Kane, let's be real, is mostly terrible. But I think 2001 is his peak as far as in-ring goes. And, I mean, it shows in matches like this, because, like, this was super fun. When Kane reverses that Baldo bomb into a drop kick, that was crazy. Like, I've never seen Kane throw a drop kick before like that in my life. So yeah, I mean, another fun match on this episode of SmackDown. So yeah, super fun hoss fight, 2 3/4 for me.
Yep. And now for our main event, it is a WWF title match, Stone Cold versus Spike Dudley. And you know, he says for Molly to stay behind, you know, so hopefully she does that, but she does not want to. He doesn't want to see Molly get hurt with Stone Cold here. So Molly Holly was told to stay in the back. Stone Cold stomps Spike down. Spike gets thrown into the post. Spike is getting beat up basically like a rag doll here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He gets thrown to the steps and the guardrail. Spike throws Austin into the table, punches and kicks to Austin. But Spike again is thrown into the steps. Stone Cold applies Benoit and Jericho's finishers on Spike. A low blow to Spike, but Austin gives him a spinebuster to Spike and then a stunner to Spike for the win here. I went a half a star. It's a squash match. Spike sort of gets awesome, a little bit of offense here, but as he gets offense, Stone Cold just squashed him down like a bug. And this is basically punishment for ripping up Stone Cold's petition here. So a half a star.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't much of a match here. I went a star and a half, but it was pretty fun for what it was, but it was super quick. It was like a 4-minute main event. It was good that they gave Spike a little bit of shine. Like, Spike at one point throws Austin into the table, and I thought at that point the crowd got super hot for it, so that really helped. So, and but then, like, right after that, Austin just took over and said, you know what, I'm not fucking around. I'm just going to end you, and that's exactly what he did. I love watching Austin in 2001 do his thing. He's just so goddamn good in the ring at this point, and it's awesome to see. So, yeah, I mean, this was a very fun watch, but it was a quick watch. So, I mean, honestly, with another, like, 3 or 4 minutes, this maybe would have hit, like, 2.5, 3 for me. But as is, because it was so damn short, I can only go a star and a half. But really fun for what it was.
Wow, nice. Yeah. So then Stone Cold is hitting Spike Dudley with a chair. Molly comes into the ring and tries to protect Spike, but looks like Stone Cold's going to do some damage to Molly when all of a sudden Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho come out and they start hitting Stone Cold with a chair, and Stone Cold runs away as the show goes off the air. You know, we're only a week away from King of the Ring. We're like 10 days. Yeah, it's like 10 days away basically from that Thursday. So, lots of going on here. Stone Cold's paranoia coming in. We did have another invader for WCW, and a lot of shine on Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho. Mostly Chris Benoit here on these shows.
Yeah, to me, it felt Jericho almost feels like an afterthought, to be perfectly honest. I mean, he really didn't do much. He was in the handicap match on Raw, and then he defended the tag titles on SmackDown. But outside of that, like, I half wonder if they should have just done Austin and Benoit at King of the Ring for the title. Like, it feels that one-sided, where, like, Jericho is barely a part of the build here.
Yeah, you know, maybe they could have put Chris Jericho in the King of the Ring match instead of like one of the eight here, and right. given him the win, like have Angle and Jericho go to the finals, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it would have given the King of the Ring a boost too.
Shane McMahon like does his thing.
Yeah, huh? I mean, I said it would have given the King of the Ring a big boost too. Because I mean, let's face it, we've seen all the qualifying matches here tonight. You're not exactly talking like star power here with guys like fucking Crash Holly, and you know, so like throw Jericho in there, that would have made some sense.
Yeah, and then if Jericho could have won the King of the Ring 2001, and you know, gotten a title shot at SummerSlam, but. You know, even King of the Ring doesn't really guarantee you a title shot at SummerSlam. Like, on and off, it sort of did, but, like, not for, like, every time. But I think if Jericho would have won, they would have went a different direction with Jericho. Give Benoit King of the Ring. Benoit still gets hurt. And then have it be the Summer of Jericho, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have made some sense, for sure.
Yeah, and what did you think of, instead of it being another gentleman, WCW man, like superstar, male superstar invading in a match, doing like a move or like a jumps dive or something, it's Stacy Keibler. So far you've had Lance Storm do his super kick, Hugh Morris did his moonsault, and Stacy Keibler. Like, it's fine, but I think it's giving you the message of, Who we got from the other side, you know?
Well, I think it's that, and I also think it's a case where, like, I feel like they want to get through King of the Ring, right? Before they officially pop everything off and let it go, because I think once you get through King of the Ring, that's when it's really going to start. At least that's how it seems. So to me, it kind of feels like, all right, let's just remind people that WCW is a thing that exists. Let's bring in a Lance Storm, a Hugh Morris, a Stacy Keibler, just to remind people that, hey, we're still going to do a WCW thing at some point. Let's get through King of the Ring, and then after King of the Ring, we're going to pop it off, and it's really going to start firing on all cylinders. That's kind of how it feels to me. It's like, all right, after King of the Ring is when it's really going to start.
And then, you know, no spoilers ahead, but we get a little surprise on next week's Monday Night Raw as well, as the Stalker will reveal himself, he says. So we get to find out who that Stalker is. Yep. Well, that's going to do it for us here on coverage of these shows. But before we go, Matt, do you have anything that you want to direct our listeners of the place to be to?
Oh, all kinds of stuff, Grooney. You can find me right here on this feed on Highway to the Impact Zone. I'm usually on every other episode of that. By the time you're hearing this, our live watch of Destination X 2006 should be out, so check that out. We should also have a new episode of YouTube Roulette on this very feed dropping pretty soon, probably within the next couple of weeks. And over on North South Connection, you can find me on the Extreme Three-Way Dance, where we go through the world of ECW. We're currently in 1998. That show is great to do. And my newest show is GCW : A Game Changing Podcast. I do that with Jennifer Smith. That is on the North South Connection Podcast Network as well. And there's video versions of both of those shows on North South Connection. So check that out. Check those out. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at MSouza1991.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. And, you know, I listen to all your work, especially Highway to the Impact Zone. You know, it's like one of my favorites, you know, like for that time period of 2006. I was a watcher of TNA, you know, and I remember that last episode when the backstage skit with Jeff Jarrett, like yelling at Shelley for screwing it up. And that is probably like, well, gem. It's like, well, Sting isn't gone. You know, is he gone? Is he not gone? Yep. And I remember the whole Eric Young thing. I thought Eric Young was cool for like sort of standing up to Jarrett, you know, and all that stuff. So really good stuff there. And Extreme Three-Way Dance is really great as well, too. You know, the coverage is getting there as you head into 1998. So that'll be awesome.
Well, thank you, sir. It is greatly appreciated.
Yep. You can find me also here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. I have two shows, this one and Extreme Resurrection, where me and Steve Riddle, we cover ECW on Sci-Fi from 2006 to 2010, the resurrection of ECW when it was brought back, Matt. And we just covered the post WrestleMania 23 shows as well, and you know, different directions of what's going on with Bobby Lashley and Mr. McMahon. The ECW originals versus the New Breed feud is heating up. You know, it's not over yet. And which side is CM Punk going to be on? Is he going to be on with the ECW originals and the New Breed here? So looking forward to seeing what happens there as well. You can listen to that on Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. And you can find me on Twitter at Grooney, G-R-U-N-E-Y 316 on Twitter. Well, that does it for us here on this episode of Nation Invasion. I'd like to thank Matt Souza once again for being my guest here. As we continue this invasion, and we the nation are coming for this invasion. Thank you and have a good night, folks.